Amen. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. We see the summer exodus has already begun. And next Sunday, I'm sure, especially, be sure to come early to get a seat. Or five. These three breaks that we take during the summer are a great time of refreshing and opportunities for the families to spend some time together. And so we just always, I know, as families, delight in those and take them and enjoy them and let the Lord minister and refresh you while you're gone. And then be looking forward to coming back, because just following all of our breaks over the next 3 weeks, start all of our camps, our outreaches, amen? And so be prayerful and preparing yourselves while you're away and recreating. Take times to pray. Take some time to pray for all of the ministry that's going to be following in those weeks that are ahead. So we just thank God for the great opportunities that He's given us, the open doors of utterance that are continuing to multiply. We've been opposed, of course, by the enemy because of this outreach. There's still some things stirring, as I shared with some of you before. We've had a number of people here in the family contacted by some freelance writer trying to get a rehashing a story in the Washington Post. Be prayerful. It'd be just as good that it didn't get printed. Amen. So let's believe God just to close the doors. This woman's making a few bucks. We know the newspaper wants to try to sensationalize everything, but what we bind in heaven will be bound on earth. And so take authority and believe God. What's this lady's name? Where does John or someone in here that knows? What is it?
Peterson.
Okay. So there's the vehicle that Satan's using, and take authority over the principalities and powers. Take authority over this woman, that her mouth would be closed in the name of Jesus, so that we could stay about Father's business. Amen. So that souls could be reached. And, you know, I heard even just some testimonies this afternoon about people who had been being reached and still then looking at all of this nonsense on the web or wherever else. And it's natural to people to want to believe evil and to, you know, want to move in darkness. They prefer it because their deeds are evil. And realize what's in man and take authority, and let's just believe God. Let's go ahead and pick up. We'll look at a couple of other passages. Just before we do, since we're going to be having a couple of weeks here where we're going to be in a break. I'm going to be gone actually next week. I know many of you are. And so we'll have a little bit of a break in the teaching. We'll take opportunity tonight to see if what we've gone over to this point has really spoken to any of your lives. I've had a lot of feedback already of people that have just said, praise God, it's been good just to see the overview, the whole topic, and understand then through the definitions of what richness is, what poverty is, what the heart of God toward His covenant people is. I've had people that have come and told me, you know, I kind of felt guilty sometimes for having so much. And others, you know, that said, you know, I begin to kind of move that other direction and think that, you know, maybe there was some kind of merit in just, you know, making sure that I would divest myself of earthly possessions, thinking that somehow that in and of itself was meritorious, and being able to understand then that there is no merit whatsoever in divesting ourselves of material things unless it's in obedience to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we've looked at a couple of these different areas, but I thought since tonight we're down quite a bit on attendance and we will be gone for a little bit, were there any questions that anybody had to this point on the subject matter? If not, we'll just continue along in Deuteronomy here for this evening, but wanted to give that opportunity. Anybody? Any of the topics that we've covered to this point that you say, hey, I this was really ringing in my spirit, but am I understanding this properly? Am I hearing what's being said? And we'll be happy to clarify if there is anything. If not, we'll go on. Anybody? Deuteronomy. We were looking this morning, of course, as we were going through the subject of the fact that it's not what we possess, it's how we've obtained it. Amen? There's absolutely nothing wrong in having abundance. There's nothing wrong in having superabundance. What we were looking at this morning, that's one of the most important truths that we can take hold of in this particular subject matter is, do we understand that as long as God is the source, that He does give us richly all things to enjoy? Amen? And so we praise Him, and of course we love that part of the scriptures. Amen. Pour it on, God. There's another side to this, and we're going to get to it. And so our lives cannot be party time. Though God wants us to enjoy His blessings, and as we saw in Ecclesiastes, that the man that receives this superabundance, partakes of it, enjoys it in this life, embraces one of the great gifts of God. It's a gift of God to be able to partake of these blessings and see it for what it is, and don't ever apologize for it, but just give God all the glory and make sure that He alone is the one that's receiving the praise. We looked at, of course, the examples this morning, and, you know, making sure that our hearts are right, that we have the heart of Abraham and not the heart of Lot. We looked at Lot this morning, and it becomes interesting in a study of mankind, of course, those things that are in the members of every one of us. Let's never forget that in every one of us, the apostle says, in our flesh dwells no good thing. And so, you know, we can many times see ourselves very noble, and we can see ourselves very humble, and we can see ourselves, of course, you know, at many times moving in the lifestyle of simplicity for the glory of God. And we want to always understand that in reality, none of us knows our own hearts. Amen. In reality, we understand that within every one of us is that spirit of preeminence. And what drives some of us that even live more simply in life is to be preeminent of the simple. We want to be preeminent in the doctrine of simplicity. I want to be famous for my humility. We're messed up. And so when we begin to see what the scriptures say about what God has for us, It causes us to be able to enter into the rest of God, enjoy the blessings that he has given us. And we saw in Abraham then that he was very rich and that God had blessed him. And we saw the reason that God had blessed him was because he was going to train up his children and his children's children in the covenant of God, in the knowledge of the sufficiency of Almighty God, Jehovah. And we talked about how vital that was then for us to make sure that's the inheritance we're leaving our children. Amen? You can't leave anything greater than a heritage of young people who will trust God, who will glorify God, who will gladly hear the voice of God, should it be in their life to divest themselves of everything and go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so as we saw the heart of Abraham and how God had blessed him, and we talked about the fact that Lot was blessed just because of his association with Abraham. And in that abundance, Abraham came to him and he said, look, we can't dwell together because of our abundance. You go ahead and choose whichever way you want. You go ahead and have first choice, and whatever is left over, I'll take. We're talking about if you want to be wealthy, that's the spirit to have. God is enough. Amen? Amen. Jehovah Jireh is sufficient. And the delight that we have in that rest in God and that trust in God. And so we saw what happens in the natural heart. And we're going to speak about this a little bit tonight as we go along. The fact that it's so dangerous that in the midst of all of our blessings, it's difficult for a wretched man to get into heaven. Amen? We need to see that one of the problems we have in our wealth is when we begin to trust in our wealth. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. It's trusting in it. There's nothing wrong with having money. It's loving it. And so as those things become, you know, solidified in our spirit, we begin to really understand what God's looking for in the life of each and every one of us as the redeemed, as covenant children through both the Abrahamic and the Mosaic covenants. God wants to bless us, praise God. Now, these blessings come because of our pursuit of Him. As we pursue God, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, then all of these things will be added unto you. Amen? As we seek first the kingdom, the blessings overtake you. You don't seek the blessings seek you. We left off this morning at this point. Those that will to be rich bring great destruction upon their own lives. I like the passage in Proverbs 13, verse 7. The scripture says, those that make themselves rich actually have nothing. It's a great, great proverb. Meditate upon it. But the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. Amen? So we can be rich either way. Either you obtain it for yourself and you have nothing. It'll take wings and fly away. You love silver and you'll never be satisfied with silver. Or the blessings of the Lord can overtake you. They make you rich and add no sorrow. You haven't set your affection upon these things. And that richness that you have doesn't in any way diminish our trust in the provider. You're either going to trust in the provision or you're going to trust in the provider. It's the Lord that gives you power to obtain wealth. Don't seek wealth, seek the provider, praise God. It's inexhaustible. His blessings, His ability to bless us is infinite. We saw this morning, what is there to worry about when the God that we serve can turn stones into bread? I've been young and now I'm old, the king said, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. As we go on in the study, we'll see some of the very things that we do that open the windows of heaven for us. We saw one of the things we do is we honor the Lord with the first fruit of all of our increase. And the scripture is very clear. The Lord saying, "Prove me herewith, saith the Lord." If in your obedience, if in your worship, if you honor me, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you can't contain, praise God. You know, the liberal soul, the scripture says, shall be made fat, amen? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. That heart that enables God to open up these blessings to you. The scripture says, however, we can retain it to our own hurt and our own destruction. Amen? Amen. And so it's just the Lord wanting to bless us. Look back at Proverbs. Keep your finger here in Deuteronomy. But look at Proverbs again, this passage that we're all very familiar with, but I think as we're, you know, looking at this subject matter of God being this source and God's will for us to advance and to go ahead, is so clear in the scriptures, especially the Old Testament. Now remember, the reason though money is spoken of quite a bit in the New Testament, the principles of God being the supplier of all of these blessings is more predominant in the Old Testament. These aren't two Bibles. Amen. It's all God's Word. Everything that is in the Old Testament as it pertains to the character of God, the covenant that God cut, is a part of that more sure word of prophecy. Amen? This word that is revealed to us, the heart of God. And that's why you don't see it being repeated over and over again in the New Testament, because God had already let His will be expressed in the Old Covenant. And many Christians have the tendency to diminish the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, to think that that we're to give more credibility to the New Covenant. They're one word. Amen? There is no contradiction. God and His Word are one. And so you'll see Christians today that kind of want to, you know, just blow off the Old Testament promises. And we've got to be careful that we don't do that. But here in Proverbs, over in chapter 3, passages that we're very familiar with, but I want you to see it again and let it begin to stir your heart. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Amen. Lean not to your own understanding. On all of your ways, acknowledge God, and He will direct your path. Here's one of the greatest statements that each and every one of us needs to grab a hold of tonight and every day. Be not wise in your own eyes. Hallelujah. Be not wise in your own eyes. If we could grab a hold of that. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. The context of these verses is the wisdom of God or the Word of God. Wisdom is being personified here. And so we're seeing wisdom as a personality. And as he speaks toward this, he says, it, the wisdom of God, the Word of God that we're trusting. See, chapter 3 starts off, look at it. Forget not my law, amen. Let your heart keep my commandments. Length of days, long life and peace will they add unto you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tables of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and in man. Trust in the Lord, he goes on to say, with all of your heart. And so he goes down and says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't allow your natural thinking to become prominent. But study the Word. Seek the Word early. And he says, it, the Word of God, the wisdom of God, shall be health to your navel, marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord, he says, with thy substance, with your wealth, with your increase. We've talked about being able to freely enjoy the blessings of God. And they're ours to enjoy. But do you have as much pleasure in blessing others as in partaking for yourself? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? Some of us only believe that when it's to our family or friends. But we'll see as we go on in the study that God wants us to begin to be habitual givers. He wants us to use our abundance to be able to give cups of cold water in His name. He wants us to take of our substance, should it be necessary, even to the place that we see the church in the book of Acts early on, to where everybody brought of their substance and put it in a common pot. Now, the Bible does not teach socialism. And that's another problem in a lot of our churches today. Many of our people in our churches begin to think socialistically, and they think, well, you know, everybody ought to be equal in the church. God's Word doesn't teach that. God's Word makes very clear that there are going to be some that live with greater abundance than others. But the Scripture also teaches when necessities arise, when needs begin to arise, those of us who have a superabundance are always to be ready to distribute. Amen? Even to the place of divesting everything that we have, putting it into the common pot, laying it at the apostles' feet, and trusting God. It's not easy to do, especially if you have a lot of stuff. It's really not easy to do if we're not moving in the right spirit. Because the natural tendency of man would be, well, why should I give them my stuff? Especially those people that we would sit and think don't deserve it because they're lazy. They don't deserve it. They didn't go on to college and put in all the time and effort that we did to get our degrees and be able to pull down a few more bucks. And so, you know, They made their bed. Oh, God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. How would you define yourself this evening? Are you a giver? Would you really be able to classify yourself that way? Our Father's a giver. Amen. Our Lord and Savior is a giver. And we should ask God for hearts that look for opportunities to emulate Him and be a blessing to the less fortunate, to minister to whatever might be needs in and among us. He says that we're to realize then that if we honor God with our substance and with the first fruits of all of our increase, I don't want to get caught up in this, but you get everybody, you know, there's the question, what should I give? Should I pay? You know, this wasn't a question that the Bible had to address because there wasn't an IRS. Should I honor God with my gross or with my net? Now, if you're having trouble figuring that out, maybe I can help you just a little bit by saying, whichever one's most, give it to God. Well, you know, the way I do it is I tithe out of my net, and then when I get my income tax money back, then I tithe on that. He says the first fruits of all of your what? Increase. You say, what is increase? You didn't have it before, now you got it. And you're thinking as well, I didn't get it. The government got it. Yeah, but you got it to give to the government. Amen? You just didn't get to put your hands on it. Or it was already spoken for. You couldn't have paid your taxes if you hadn't have received the increase. You're just giving back to God what's already been given to you. Amen? And if there is a problem with this, give God what He deserves and then give the government what they deserve. Malachi spoke about that. Tell it to your governor. Work it out with him. But give God what honors God. Amen? The tithe is the Lord's. So he says, honor the Lord. We weren't going to talk about that part tonight, but somebody needed it, so let's go on. And he says, honor the Lord with your substance, the first fruits of all of your increase. Now look, as we worship God, as we're seeking the kingdom, as we're honoring God with substance, there's consequence to that. And it says your barns will then be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine, praise God. God wants to give you abundance. Turn back to Deuteronomy for just a second, and let's just real quickly go to Deuteronomy 28. Passage we're familiar with. We weren't going to go there, but since we're off course, let's stay off course. And chapter 28, then, as we look at this passage of Scripture, he begins to talk about the necessity for you and I to understand that everything that causes these blessings of God to be administered to us is the consequence of our communion and fellowship with Him and our obedience to the Word of God. Because we see from Deuteronomy 28 that obedience and disobedience greatly affects our prosperity or our adversity in life. Not fate. Some people would have us believe that fate meets out who gets blessed and who doesn't. Some would think that it's a sovereign act of God, though we know that the Lord made both the rich and the poor. But he gives us an insight into how people, some get rich and some get poor. And he says here that if you want to live a life that's opening itself up for the abundance of God to where those blessings can overtake you, he says, look, it shall come to pass if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord God, observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord will set you up on high above all the nations of the earth. We still don't believe this, but beloved, we'll be back in Deuteronomy in just a moment, but we need to see this is our obedience before the nations. Amen. I mean, this is our wisdom. This is our wisdom before the nations, our obedience to God, our trust in God. The fact that we will not do things their way. We won't worship their idols. And one of the things we won't worship is Wall Street. And we won't worship their education system. In fact, the admonition was to go in and pull these idols down. Listen, beloved, as it pertains to our children and our children's children, they were not told to go in among the nations and find the best way to survive them and work among them and have as little attrition as possible. There are enemies. Their system is antichrist. Their God, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, is the devil. Their institutions are demonic. Public school is demonic. It started for one reason, to promote secular humanism. The schools were in the homes. The children's learned to read from the Bible. And look where we are today by advancing ourselves. God help us. But this is our wisdom among the nations. Amen? We're going to do it God's way. Someone just spoke to me yesterday evening. I can't even remember where I was. We were somewhere yesterday evening. But anyway, somebody, that's all right. I'll get it in a minute. And someone was speaking to me and they said, you know, I remember years ago when you made a comment about this, when we were approached by the secular world and they were questioning us on our accreditation here for our discipleship training. And he said, I'll never forget what you said. He said, when the question was asked about accreditation, your response to them was, of course we're not going to accept your accreditation. Your standards are not high enough for us. Amen. We're not the little peons down here that are fumbling around and don't know what we're doing or where we're going. We've got a course. We're working within a kingdom to raise up warriors for the kingdom of God. A godly seed, praise God, that no weapon formed against them can ever prosper. And God himself can raise them up and put them on the throne if it's his desire. We don't need your system. We despise your system. We will not eat your dainties. And God will make us 10 times wiser than anything you can produce in your system. Do you still believe that? Oh, beloved, the spirit of Antichrist in the world today, seducing us. Seducing us into their wisdom and their philosophies. And so he says, I'm looking for a remnant. I'm looking for a people that'll keep my commandments. And he said, and I'll set you on high above the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Do you really believe tonight? You see, I believe this with all my heart and I've experienced it. I have no question. I have no question that if we will make God's wisdom our wisdom, if we'll partake of it, as Proverbs 3 was saying as we read just a moment ago, if we'll be not wise in our own eyes, well, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I still think that we should, well, knock yourself out. But as for me and my house, we're doing it God's way. Don't know anything else. Don't want anything else. God is sufficient for me. And he said, you'll be overcome by the blessings of God. And so we see here that he goes on and he says, look, you'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. And you shall be blessed in the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle. And you'll experience increase of your kind and your flocks. You'll be blessed in your basket and in your store. You'll be blessed when you come in. You'll be blessed when you go out. So just keep coming in and going out as fast as you can. And the Lord shall cause the enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before you. They'll come against you one way. They'll flee in seven. The Lord shall command blessing upon thee in your storehouse. And in all that you set your hand to do, he shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. Praise God. The Lord shall establish a holy people. Get your eyes off the world and get them on God and let him bless you. Hallelujah. There's more of us being seduced by the riches of the world than would like to think. There's more of us being motivated, lives directed by gain, by increase, by preeminence than we would like to admit. And we've already seen that God not only doesn't have a problem with you having gain and increase, it's the Lord that gives us riches and honor. Amen? God doesn't mind you increasing. He doesn't mind you going up the ladder, praise God. He wants to be the source. And we all go amen, but how many of us are still looking to the system? Looking for how to operate this thing. Stand separate from it. The scripture is very clear. God didn't say that he was going to remove us from the world. He said he's going to remove the world from us. Amen. And that we're in this world, but we're not of it. Amen? I told you the story years ago. I won't belabor the point, but we had some people here that were like way high up in Amway, like the as many diamonds as you can get. I think they were second in line to that dude down in Charlotte that kept PTL afloat so often, just give millions and millions and millions of dollars. He would have his Amway people, all of his leaders together, and would have to rent like what would be equivalent here to the CAP Center. And they asked me to come and speak one time down there and offered me a boatload of money. They were Christians, but they didn't want the gospel because it was a mixed company. And I shared with them, I don't mess with mingled seed. Amen. Amen. Oh, it was the biggest check I'd ever been offered at one time. It can't be said that any man's made Abraham rich, praise God. Amen. Most of you know the story how when they had come in one time and we were having a function, I think actually it was when their kids getting married, and they came over and were talking to Janet and they were saying, oh wow, you know, and they started talking their language. One of their greetings, I think, was ain't it great or something. And one of them said something like, ain't it great? And she responded, God's good. Amen. And they noticed some of her little trinkets that she had on. And they looked at her mink coat, looked at some of her trinkets, and began to ask how long we had been in Amway. Because in their minds, Amway is the only way you can get anything. And we informed them that we had been in Jesus for a lot of years. Amen. And that it's He that makes rich and adds no sorrow. And that God's blessings, because of our putting the Word of God first in our lives, overtake us. Do we believe that? That God alone is our source. And so as we look down, and I don't want to take any more time in the Deuteronomy passage, but we're very clear on the fact then that God is wanting to be the source of our prosperity. Now these passages in Deuteronomy 6, actually chapters 4 through 8 would be good just to go over and meditate on again and see what God's saying as we're living in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. And the fact that we keep, chapter 4, verse 6, that we keep and do the commandments of God, that becomes our wisdom and our understanding in the sight of the nations. And surely they will say, this is a great nation, and it's wise and understanding in its ways. I was in court one time. Somebody was having a divorce case, and I was in court, and the lawyer kept asking me some questions, so I would just answer every question he asked by quoting a Bible verse. And he got ticked off. And he turned to the judge, and he said, Judge, make this man answer me with something that I can understand. Now we know, right, that it's foolishness to the natural mind. They can't understand it. And I love the wisdom of the judge. He said, that's their language. Learn it. But you know, the Bible tells us, and we're all very clear, that tragically the covenant people begin to learn the language of their captors. Of Babylon. I trust that our children are not learning the language of the stock market. I trust that our children are not learning the language of real estate. I trust that our children are not learning the language of whatever methods people are becoming preeminent in the world today. I trust that our children are foremost learning the language of the Word of God and understanding the wisdom of God, and that we don't speak their language, we don't move in their methods or their wisdom, that God alone is our provider. And He'll make us 10 times wiser than anything that they can produce. Do we still believe that? And the Word of God is making very clear where our wisdom comes from, and that the world takes note of it. And I want to tell you something. When they look at someone who is full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Word of God, they fear us. They don't know what to do with us. We will kill you. Thank you. Hallelujah. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I can't kill myself. It's a sin. I appreciate it. We'll beat you. We'll take your stuff. And they walk away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. What do you do with people like that? Hallelujah. Sawed asunder, plundered everything they had, stripped from them to their daily food and daily raiment. A people of whom this world, Hebrews says, is not worthy. Who are our heroes? Our heroes should not be these politicians and these entrepreneurs and these sports stars. Our people ought to be those that we can't even name their names that Hebrews speaks of whom this world isn't worthy. That's what makes a rich man. If I were a rich man. Oh, beloved, we give lip service. Are our hearts as near to His breast as they should be? Tragically, this fourth chapter speaks, and beloved, I think this is one of the things that just is burning in me. We have lost the fear of God. We have forgotten that our God is a consuming fire and a jealous God, and we're going to stand before Him. Amen. Oh, the return of the fear of God. And we go on in these chapters, and the Scripture tells us that we're to go into their land, and we're to pull down their idols, and we're to burn them, and we're to trample them beneath our feet. We're not to want to become one of them and socialize, fellowship, hoping that we could somehow get near these great people. I'll tell you who's great, some of you young people. Your godly dad. That's who your hero should be. That's who's great, praise God. You want to know who's great? Your old fuddy-duddy granddad, who's holding on to the straight and narrow, the highway of holiness, that looks at this world and sees it for what it is, foolish. And instead, many of our young people mock granddad instead of mocking the world. Oh, that God would move on us. To see what it means to be rich in the kingdom of God. Thank God for these temporal things when they come and overtake you. And enjoy the plenty that God gives you. Oh, but beloved, lay up treasures in heaven. Let your heart, because your heart is where your treasures are. Amen? Where do you find your heart lately? What has your mind? What's taking your time and your energy? What dominates your conversation? Are you consumed with day and night meditating upon this word, knowing that this and this alone is the source of your wisdom, of your power, and of your abundance? And so as we wind down for tonight and we look at these things and he talks about these riches that come to us that overtake us and we rejoice in the fact that we've been overtaken by the blessings of God. But he says in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, be very careful, verse 11, beware that you forget not the Lord in keeping his commandments. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and your flocks are multiplied and your silver and your gold is multiplied, be careful that your heart be not lifted up and you forget the Lord. And of course that admonition, you know, is a repeat of what he said over in chapter 6. He speaks and talks about being aware in verse 12 of chapter 6, lest we forget the Lord. He's just gone through the passage starting up at verse 6 about our need to teach our children and our children's children when they rise up, when they walk in the way, when they lie down. You see, this is a problem that we've run into in Africa now. And even some of our pastors have taken their children and put them into boarding schools and put them into the public schools. Because their churches are not able to provide. I hadn't known this until our missions team came back. I got right on the phone to Rob and Forb and I said, call everybody together. And they're meeting this next week, so if you remember, pray for them. Here's the deal. That ain't gonna fly. Amen? If you're gonna be here and be a part of this ministry, you're gonna train your children when they rise up and when they walk in the way and when they lie down. You're not going to send them to a boarding school where the latest statistics in Nairobi say that 60% get involved in homosexual activity. You're not going to send your children to boarding school where they get raised up in the wisdom of Egypt. Sell your stupid cell phone and love your kids. Don't tell me you don't have a way to pull this thing off. You're going to send your children, those that are even localized, that are not sending them to boarding school, but they have them in public schools. They require there in the schools that they're in, they're going to school 60 to 70 hours a week. And you're going to keep them from that with 3 hours a week in church? You already lost. Rob says, do you think we'll lose some of the pastors? I said, probably. But I'd rather have a smaller church now than no church in 20 years. Amen? This is our wisdom. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just ask that you would strengthen us and let these promises come alive in us, that we would search our own hearts and ask ourselves, are we trusting in our riches? Are we trusting in our own abilities? Are we trusting in the 80 hours a week we're putting into the job and saying, look how God's blessing me? And we're not there for our families, and we're not there for ministry. Oh, we may be there in body, but we're not there. The opportunities to advance we've had a number of men here in our fellowship that when having opportunity to advance, they went and said, nope, not interested in advancing. In fact, I'm looking to actually go down a step here so that I can have more time for the kingdom of God. Thank God for men like that. Amen. Thou fool, Jesus said, this night, and any of us in here could face this, tonight, you're going to stand before God. Your life does not consist of the abundance of things that you possess. Tonight your soul will be required of you. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? It's a dangerous world, Father, help us. It's a deceitful world, Father, help us. We love stuff, Father, help us. Be the source both of provision and distribution. Be the source that we would not trust in the uncertainty of the riches, but in the immutability of your promises. It's scary, Father, but with God, all things are possible. And so we look to you and ask for your wisdom and strength. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, let it overtake you. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.